Well, good morning. I promise you I'm here to fix and solve every problem, every situation that you've got. Okay, I'm done. Because I can't. I want to tell you a little bit about myself, first of all, before we have an opportunity to look into the Word. And if you'd like to turn, we'll be in Isaiah 6 during the course of part of our time this morning. I grew up out in California. It's, for those of you who don't know that, it's the breakfast cereal state. The land of fruits, nuts, and flakes. And I grew up in a non-Christian home. When I finished the sixth grade, my mom gave me the opportunity to change schools. The public school system was so bad at that time, she said, you're either going to the Catholic school or you're going to the Christian school in the area. And I went and looked at both of them and then didn't care one way or the other. I knew nothing of religion, of anything of the Bible. For me, God was a cuss word. That's all I used it for. Hell was a cuss word. I looked at the two schools, the rules and regulations of both of them, and I made a determination to go to the Christian school. And at the time when I was applying for both schools, I had hair that was down to my shoulders. I was a typical surfer boy, would go out to the beach just about every day if I possibly could, and I went to the Christian school for one reason and one reason only from my perspective, and that was I didn't want to wear the uniforms that the Catholic kids had to wear, so I had to cut my hair at both schools, and that was the very first time I ever heard the gospel, the very first time. Now, let me give you a warning about this. All too often, especially dealing with people who don't know anything of the Bible, dealing with young people, kids in particular, we can't force anything on them. We need to make sure they understand, and the Holy Spirit is the one that will save that soul, not me. During one of the early chapel services of that Christian school, I knew that there was something wrong by listening to what this preacher was saying. Again, the Bible, if you had had me to turn to the book of Isaiah, as I asked you guys to do, you could flip to it. I would have had to go to the table of contents to find it. Wouldn't have known Old or New Testament. When I went forward during that invitation, I was taken back to one of the workrooms of this Christian school, and there was a lady who dealt with me. And she opened up her Bible, and she showed me Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." She said, "I'm going to pray, and then you pray." So she prayed some sort of a prayer. This was all new to me. I knew two prayers that I had been taught in my household every now and then when we prayed. And one of those is, "God is good, God is great, let us thank Him for His food." And the other one is, "Now I lay me down to sleep." That was the only prayers that I knew to do. And so I sat there with my head bowed after she prayed. And when she got done, I looked up at her. She said, "Okay, you're saved. Go on back to class." I was no more saved than this pulpit right here. Make sure when you deal with someone, folks, and I try sharing this as much as I can, make sure that it's the Holy Spirit's leading them. I have told more, especially dealing with kids throughout the years in the ministry, told more kids, "You did not get saved today," than I've told that they've gotten saved. Because they'll come forward at a vacation Bible school. I've worked with neighborhood Bible time, and numbers of them will come through. They don't know why they're there. And you can talk to them, and you can tell they're not ready. Let the Holy Spirit lead them. Take that time, wait, and pray for them. Well, being in the ministry, I came out to college when I left high school. And I came out for one purpose. I wanted to get away from home. I was not right with the Lord. I was saved. I chose to go to Bob Jones University because it was 2,500 miles away from rules and regulations that my mom was putting on me. And believe it or not, the rules and regulations that I got put underneath at school didn't bother me because I had my plan that was set up. I had a lady that my mom was working with at the time who was an attorney. She said, "You go to school, do well in your undergraduate degree, and go on to law school. If you're successful in your first year of law school, I'll pay the rest of the way through your law school. When you're done with law school, you come back. You come work in my practice. If you're successful for the full first year, I'll give you a full partnership. My course was set. That's what I wanted to do. Praise the Lord, he finally got a hold of my hard head, broke my hard heart, and said, I want you to go a different way. When I was going through school, one of the things I told the Lord, I would do anything but serve in the area that I'm at. I wanted to get away from the Greenville, South Carolina area because, unfortunately, too many, I saw at the time I was in school, the preacher boys would go to school, they'd get their education, and they would settle in that nice, comfortable place because if you get tired of one church, walk out the door, take three steps, and you're almost in another church. I didn't want to stay there. The Lord has left me there for 33 years. In the ministry, it's been such a blessing, and I even brought with me one of my prized possessions from my time in the ministry. Now, most of you young people probably wouldn't have any idea what this is. Most of the men wouldn't. Some of the ladies might. This is a little Tupperware dish. It's one of those that's designed that has little slots in the bottom that you can hook them together on some sort of a Tupperware apparatus. If you don't mind, I'm going to set this right here for this morning. Is that all right with everybody? Good, because I'm doing it anyway. Have you ever heard of an animal called an ermine? It's an amazing little creature. It's basically a weasel, a glorified rat. And one of the things that they are known for is during the winter months when there's snow on the ground, their coats turn white. And we are talking pure white. And one of the things that they do is they make sure they cleanse themselves as much as possible because their white fur helps them blend in with the snow. And as a result, when their bigger creatures are coming after them, they can just freeze and lay still, and they're hidden in the snow. Now, hunters love these things for their fur. And being a glorified rat as they are, they're also a creature that's pretty hard to catch. But the hunters learned something about these things. They learned that these glorified rats will do anything they can to keep their fur white. So what the hunters will do is they'll go out and they'll not look for the creature, but they'll look for their holes that they dig into the ground or in the clefts of the rocks, and that way they can go to that hole and they'll just take some grease and some dirt and rub it around the entrance to that hole. And then they turn the dogs loose, and when the dogs get on the scent, they'll start running after them. Of course, that little ermine says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to the safety of my home. And they get to their home, and they run up to it, and they see that grease around the hole of their home. And they say, I'm not going in there. I'm not going in there because if I go in there, that dirt, that grease will get on my beautiful white coat. And I'll be able to be seen. It's amazing with that little creature, the purity of their coat is more important than their life. This morning, I want to spend a little bit of time looking at our personal holiness. Our personal holiness. One of the things that I see, and I will say this, I'll apologize if my voice cracks and makes noise and other stuff. We have been battling the same bugs at our church, and my family has had it since January, and we've been passing it around. One of the things that I see going on in many Christians is the simple fact that we're afraid almost of living a pure life. Now, a lot of times if you ask somebody what holiness is, well, that's that monk who goes up in some monastery up in some strange mountain and sits around and chants and moans and groans all day long. Or maybe it's that little old lady who sits in the back of her house and sits in her rocking chair and reads her Bible and prays all day long. That's what you have to do to be holy. But I think that's a wrong perception of personal holiness. What really is meant by this is that as Christians, we are changed and are in a growing state of changing, growing to set ourselves apart for the Lord. Now, why is it, this thing of holiness, why is it important for us? Well, here in the book of Isaiah, we see Isaiah receiving a great vision of the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, starting with verse number 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And upon seeing that vision," it goes on in verse number 4, "and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." What a vision that was. We can't even fully grasp that vision that Isaiah was given that day of the Lord himself in heaven. We read a similar account of the description anyway in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 8, and it says, "And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." We have this description here in these two passages with multitudes of other passages describing our Lord as holy. We're going to come back and see a little bit more about this in a moment. We can look that Jesus Christ, our Savior, while he was here on this earth, he died to bring us holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 through 24, it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Romans 5:19, "For as by one man's disobedience were many made sinners, and by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." And then in Romans chapter 8, in the first 4 verses, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And let me stop and go for a rabbit trail here. Every day you should thank the Lord for that fact. There is therefore now. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's today. That's not just when we get to heaven. That's today. Thank him every day for your salvation, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We have a holy God. We have a holy Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to make us holy. And may I say this? We are commanded, every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are commanded to be holy. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 7, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." And as Peter repeats this same charge in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Now, to the best that our minds can grasp, we understand this thing that the Lord is holy. We see the account in Isaiah. We read the account in Revelation. The Lord is holy. We know He is pure. But when it comes to us, there's something different about us. We have, unfortunately, the sin nature that was passed down upon us. And for us to be able to live that holy life, that's something that's, well, may I say it? It's impossible. It's impossible for us to live a holy, sinless, perfect life. And if anybody tells you that that's what you're charged to do, tell them it's impossible. But wait a second! Didn't you just read a verse that said, be ye holy? And you said it was a command for me to be holy. And then you're turning around and saying, well, it's impossible. How can that be? Well, let's look at a couple things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become what? New. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, just as I was back when I was in my junior year of high school, and I didn't tell you that part, after I went through that little thing that that lady did, I became active in my church, I became active in my Christian school, I was ahead of the youth department, did all kinds of stuff, and I was lost. The problem was my pride got a hold of me. Because people said I got saved when I was in seventh grade. And it took 4 years till I finally surrendered my pride. And at that same Christian school, I had to walk down an aisle and say, I'm not saved. That was hard because I had a reputation then. People looked up to me. But you know, I'm so thankful that I did. And instead of going out the back door to a counseling room there, I got taken out to the other side of the building. And that's where I finally got saved. But I became that new creation in Jesus Christ. And when I became that new creation in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4:24 describes it that you put on the new man after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There is a change that takes place in our lives as a Christian. Even if you were brought up in a Christian home, you never did anything wrong in all of your life. When you got saved, you became a new creation. And in that process, there is a change that takes place. I'd like us to look at this man, Isaiah, and look at his life. Now, Isaiah was blessed and privileged of the Lord to get that glimpse where he saw the Lord seated upon his throne. If we go back to chapter 5, which we're not going to take the time to study through this morning, you will see Isaiah delivers a message to the nation of Israel. There is a six-point sermon, if you want to preach on the sins of the people in there. Six times he delivers woes to the nation of Israel for the fact that they are living a wicked life before the Lord. And when we move into chapter 6 is when he gets this vision. If we were to ask ourselves, what would the Lord choose, or who would the Lord choose to get a great vision of heaven, of the Lord? Would it be someone who is walking close with the Lord, someone who's mediocre with the Lord, or somebody who's rebelling or possibly even unsaved? Well, of course we would say the vision that Isaiah got would be one that would be given to a person who is right with the Lord, who is serving the Lord, who is living for the Lord. And that's exactly what I believe Isaiah saw when he was able to get that vision from the Lord. He was living right. He would be one of those that the preacher gets done at the end of his message and says, all right, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're living right with the Lord and you're saved, 100% sure that everything between you and the Lord is taken care of. Isaiah would have been one of those first ones that could have put his hand up and say, yes, preacher, that's me. I'm saved. I'm doing everything that I know that I'm supposed to do. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm witness. I go to church. I give my tithes. I'm obedient. Everything. That's what I am. But I want us to look at something. If Isaiah, which I believe he was that right with the Lord, when he got the vision of the Lord seated upon his throne, this is what Isaiah says if you look at verse number 5. Then said I, praise the Lord, I am holy enough that the Lord would give me this vision because I deserve it. No. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Wow. This was this guy that would have been able to raise his hand and say, yes, I am 100% right with the Lord. I have no known sin in my life. And you know, that may have been true. But when he saw the holiness of the Lord, he realized how bad of a condition he was in. And it would have been easy for him to say, and he does go on to say in verse number 5 about the people, he says, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. It would have been easy for him to say that. But his first statement was not the people around me. Woe is me. Woe is me. And why was he proclaiming that woe is me? What does he say at the end of that verse? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He took his focus off of himself. He took his focus off of the people that were around him, any circumstances, and he says, when I look at my life compared to the holiness of the Lord that I saw, all I can say is, woe is me. He was right with the Lord in our terminology of today. He was chosen by the Lord to see this special privilege of looking into heaven. But Isaiah's assessment of himself, I am a filthy, rotten sinner. And how precious this picture that the Lord gives to us of his preacher, Isaiah. His preacher who was right with the Lord, Isaiah. His preacher who was serving the Lord, who was standing up in the midst of a group of people that were rebelling against the Lord. Go back and read the woes of Isaiah chapter 5 and see those people. And Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, saw his sinfulness. But oh, let's look at a couple other things as we continue on in this passage. Immediately, and this is one of the great things about our holy Lord. He doesn't want sin in our lives. He slowly but surely works in our hearts and our lives. As we read the Bible, as we listen to preaching, we hear the teaching of the Word of God. He is changing us. And in the process of changing us, he drives out that sin from our lives to make us a little bit more pure, a little bit more pure. Each and every day we should be growing in the Lord. And when Isaiah saw and admitted and cried out for his sin that was before him, verse number 6 says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. According to this passage of Scripture, not a trick question, I promise you, who was the one that took that coal and touched the lips of Isaiah with it? What's it say in the passage? Verse 6, the seraphim, an angel. What right and privilege according to what we know of the Bible does an angel have to go to any person and say, your sins are taken care of and are gone? I don't think we find that. Do you think that angel went on a message given to him by the Lord and said, angel, go take one of those coals off the altar and take it, touch it to Isaiah's lips. The Lord sent the cleansing to this preacher of his, this man of his that was standing up and saying, woe is me. I've seen the holiness of the Lord. I'm not worthy to be here. I'm a man of unclean lips. The angel, I believe, under the order of the Lord, carried forth that message to Isaiah to say, you have this sin cleansed. And that is one of the great things of the Lord, because as we live our lives, as we go about our way, we will see that constantly we are sinning. I wish it could say that we wouldn't. But the sin nature, Paul described himself as the chief of sinners. Paul said that the things that he wanted to do, those are the things that he wasn't doing. The things that he didn't want to do, those were the things that he was continually doing. It was a battle of the flesh. And as we see the Lord in his holiness, we'll see our sinfulness as the Lord points it out to us. And that's where we need to go before the Lord. And we need to repent. We need to repent of that sin. And it may be something we didn't even know that was going on in our lives. Maybe even something extremely small. It's not that we're going out and committing murder, or that we're robbing and we're stealing, we're committing adultery. Maybe it's just a little attitude that could be in our hearts and our lives. When we look and see the holiness of our Lord, and how do we stand before him? But look at this. Look at this. As Isaiah saw himself before the Lord, and he said, woe is me. The angel comes and touches his lips and provides the cleansing. But look at verse number 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Isaiah's response was, then said I, here am I. Send me. As we see the holiness of the Lord, we see our sinfulness. We see the Lord cleansing us from sin and changing us. You know what that's going to make us want to do? Be able to say, Lord, whatever it is that you're asking, I want to do. And you know, that's one of the things that the Lord desires of each and every one of his children. Not all of us are supposed to be preachers, teachers, missionaries. Some of us are supposed to be janitors. Hey, you know what I did for 28 years while working at a church? I cleaned toilets. 28 years I was the assistant. 24 of it I was the assistant. And then 4 or 5 more I was the pastor while I was working for the Greenville County School System cleaning toilets. And you know the neat thing about that? There was a day back when I was in college, I said, Lord, I have $10 to my name. I got to pay a school bill. I need a job. I got a job that worked around my school schedule, cleaning toilets. When I got done, I was going to go on to get a master's degree. You know how I paid for my master's degree? I cleaned toilets. I got done. I wanted to leave Greenville area, as I said a while ago, and the Lord said, no, stay here. Stay here as the assistant pastor of this church. Because it's a part-time paid position, I clean toilets. I say, well, man, that's not very good of a job, is it? Well, number one, it's where the Lord put me. So that made it the perfect job. And being that perfect job, I was able to have ministry with the little public school kids that I worked with. I was able to have ministry with the faculty and staff of that school that I worked with in the public school system. We even had a program that we worked with, they called the at-risk kids, the worst of the worst kids. And one of the things that we did is I wrote a grant, and we were able to get money to build a woodworking shop. And we bought all the tools, and you think, well, the worst of the elementary kids, and you have a woodworking shop? Yeah, I did a lot of praying when I worked in that place with those kids. But every year when the school year started, we would start building things. And one of the things that I would always build was a nativity set. Now, these little kids would say, what on earth is a nativity set? You know, one of the things in public school systems, you can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, you can preach, you can do all the stuff you want to do, but you got to make sure, especially if you're doing it with a child, that they institute the question. I happened to be working with a Christian principal, so she knew what I was going to be doing, and she was fine with it. What's a nativity? As we were cutting the wood and gluing it together, well, it's about Jesus Christ. Well, who's Jesus Christ? Boy, that's like sending a dog after red meat telling a preacher, who's Jesus Christ? Who was it? It was whoever it was that shared the testimony a while ago. Tell me about him. If I hadn't taken that job of cleaning toilets, I would have never had that opportunity to reach out to those number of kids that I did. Spectacular, wonderful, glorious job? No, it really wasn't. But I praise the Lord that he left me there for all the impact that he had. So I was being in the way that the Lord sent me. I was able to say, Lord, here am I, send me. You know, while we look at this, we will never in our lives this side of heaven be able to attain that thing of complete holiness. So what does that mean? Do we stop trying? I would dare say that for everyone in here this morning, within the past at least 2 or 3 weeks, you've taken a shower. Why? Because if you don't, you stink. But you know, why take that shower? Because even if you do it every day, you get dirty each day. And you got to get cleansed each day. That's what it is when we come before the Lord, each and every day. We're not going to live a life of sinless perfection, but we live a life where we try sinning less and less and growing closer and closer and closer to the Lord. You know, you guys must have thought I was pretty insecure when I said I had to bring my favorite item of the ministry, this old, ugly Tupperware dish. But I told you this is one of my most prized possessions that's been given to me in the ministry. This was given to me by a missionary, a girl that was in college and attended our church. She married a man and went on to the mission field. And after they were on the field for a number of years, I received this Tupperware dish along with this letter that I'm going to share with you. Dear Pastor Greg, it is with deep regret that I am sending this note and package to you. Several years ago, while we were on deputation, we stayed in the missions house there at the church. This little container was in the kitchen, and it was exactly suited to a need that I had for storing lemon halves. So I borrowed it, making all sorts of excuses that I would return it next time we were there. No one was using it anyway, etc., etc., etc. Well, I knew all along I never should have taken the container. I continued to resist the Holy Spirit's urge to confess my sin and return the container until some time back I was staying at home from church due to illness, and I was listening to a sermon on CD, and the Lord again convicted me about the container. So I am finally sending it back to you. I am sure this trespass has been a hindrance to my ministry. It has definitely been a burden to my conscience and my walk with the Lord. Again, I apologize for taking the container. It was a breach in your trust in me as a missionary. A missionary should be completely honest and trustworthy. And I am very sorry for my failure to be that. I look at this little Tupperware container and I leave it sitting on my desk at my office at my church so that I can look at it and say, is there something, even something very minor, that's preventing me from taking that next step in my holiness for the Lord? I guarantee you, from the field that this came from, where it was mailed back to me from, cost many times more than what this little dish is worth. But this little dish, for years, hindered the fellowship, hindered the work of that missionary. May I challenge us this morning? Let's look and see the holiness of the Lord and how pure He is. And let's make sure that there's not a Tupperware dish in our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the chance to look into Your Word. And I pray that as we look into Your Word, if there is anything in our lives that's not there, that's right with Thee, if there's our own little Tupperware dish, that we would be willing to get that taken care of. Whatever that thing is that's hindering our walk with Thee, may we have that evidence of our personal holiness in our lives. And it may not be today, but maybe tomorrow or the next day, that Tupperware dish will be set before us. And help us to make the choice that I always want to live the life that's pleasing to You. Help us today to get rid of that Tupperware dish. And help us today to make that commitment to never allow anything, just as that little ermine wouldn't go into his hole to mess up his coat, that we would make the decision that we will do the best that we can to never allow anything to hinder our personal walk with Thee. And with this, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.